Right on. Here goes.
Hello, Ann Arbor and the world. And hello, University of Michigan graduates.
Congratulations, everyone who is graduating. Congratulations to all your children. I hope as you're struggling to find parking and to navigate this big, big city of Ann Arbor that you are listening to WCBN FM Ann Arbor.
Today we have with us Growing Hope, which people from Ann Arbor and Southeast Michigan probably know a lot about. It's a wonderful organization based in Ypsilanti, and we have Danielle Gartner and Karen Spangler here to talk about the wonderful work that they do.
And if you don't know a lot about it, don't worry. You're going to find out in the next hour.
Exactly.
Yes. We are playing some fun summer tunes for you today. Some with a graduation tinge. Perhaps we should play the first one. Little MIA, perhaps?
Yeah, this is actually a song that we chose because we are in denial about the weather. We believe it is sunny and beautiful outside. And
there
yeah,
you go.
There you go.
I bongo with my lingo and beat it like a wing, yo. To combo, to Colombo, can't stereotype my thing, yo. I salt and pepper my mango, shoot spit at the window. Bingo.
That was going out to Jerusalem, the lovely girlfriend of our engineer, Gus Turner, to give you a little private details about our life. And she had the great pleasure of dancing with MIA on stage quite recently, which is pretty awesome. I wish I could have been there dancing.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yes. Awesome. So as we mentioned before that wonderful song, we have in the studio with us today Danielle Gartner and Karen Spangler, the program director and project coordinator at Growing Hope.
Hello.
Hi.
Excited to be here.
That's really great. What is Growing Hope?
Fabulous question.
Thank you.
We are a nonprofit organization located in Ypsilanti, Michigan, and our mission is to improve lives and communities through gardening and healthy food access.
So you can literally grow that hope.
All the time.
Wow.
We live it. We grow it.
Live it. Yes. Grow it. Awesome.
Love it.
Karen, any relation to a famous Ghostbuster?
You know, unfortunately not.
Mm-hmm.
I do
I do bust things other than ghosts.
Like interesting.
Moves.
Like moves?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And help seeds bust open.
That's true.
Yeah. Wow. That's
I can
really
personally
great.
Vouch. I've seen
both the moves
on
and
all
the
of them. Yes.
Now, how long has Growing Hope been in existence?
Almost 11 years. May 23rd is our 11th birthday.
Ooh.
Everyone who wants to pop by on June 1st, that's a Sunday, we're having a birthday party.
Are you
the Growing
have carrot
Hope
cake?
Center.
You could.
Probably smoothies, though.
Nice.
Delicious, delicious, healthy smoothies.
Yes.
Yeah, Sunday, June 1st is going to be our big kind of community thank you just to anybody who's been involved with Growing Hope throughout the years. We have a lot of great support from the community, and this is our chance to say thank you and to, you know, bring people in.
That's beautiful.
So how did Growing Hope get started, and why did it get started?
Fabulous question. So there's all sorts of bits to this story, but the basics of it, our founding executive director and still current executive director, Amanda Edmonds, she was, you know, in school at School of Natural Resources, where she did both undergrad and grad school. She made her way to Ypsilanti and saw some need there and some fun things going on and started building a garden with the Perry Learning Center there. And so started a community garden, mostly a school-based garden right outside of Perry that focused on just the preschool-aged folks. Really cute stuff.
Kids love watching things grow.
Oh, my
They're
gosh.
They're like, this is amazing. Am I eating all this food all the time? And this is what happens to it?
Totally. The garden still exists. It's a community garden now. It's run by some other folks, and I've gardened there for a number of years. It's my plots.
Wow.
Yeah. And then it just blossomed from there. You know, you just start snowballing, and suddenly you got a whole organization with a ton of employees and a farm and the whole bit.
Wow.
Yeah, really branching out from community gardening as one aspect of food access, trying to address lots of other aspects as well. So that's why in 2006, right, the downtown Ypsilanti Farmers Market, we started it and we still manage it. We've recently taken over management of the Depot Town Farmers Market. So we're looking at that aspect of, you know, how people are accessing food. And then also nutrition education and other kinds of school opportunities for nutrition access.
Yeah, we really, you know, try to take the seed to plate approach, which is what we call it. You know, it's like learn how to plant the stuff, take care of it, harvest it, turn it into something nutritious and delicious.
Wow.
That's great. And I was reading on your website that in Ypsilanti, I'm not sure if this is still current, but that 25% of residents are food insecure.
Yeah, so that's a pretty staggering statistic. So I believe that comes from some of the food security studies that maybe food gatherers did as a community assessment a number of years ago. So in terms of currently what that looks like, I have no idea.
What does it mean to be food insecure? Does that just mean you don't have enough food? You're not having the right kind of food?
Yeah, it means a couple of different things. People often confuse it with the idea of hunger, and food insecure doesn't necessarily mean that you're hungry, but it. So there are two different concepts, but food insecure is when you maybe don't know where your next meal is going to come from, not having enough money to purchase the foods that you want to be eating that are culturally appropriate for you and that are providing the nutrients that you need.
Yeah, or that are sufficiently nutritious, because I know that some people that I know, you know, when food gets scarce, what they turn to are things that go a little bit further. Potatoes, pasta, rice.
Ramen noodles,
the classic yeah. Ramen noodles.
Where else are you going to get your salt intake? Such
right.
A wham.
I know. That powdered shrimp taste. So so it's something that, you know, maybe you don't see it because people are still getting food, but it's not the kind of food that's going to provide them with them or their families with the nutrients they need to stay healthy and to really live a full life.
Right. And that goes so much further, right? So it's like healthy and then full life also meaning being able to pay attention at school. And I'm sure that has lots of implications on the
future.
There's just a study that came out about kind of maternal nutrition and then effects on children later in life. And it's just amazing how important it is to get a full range of nutrients and delicious, healthy fats and stuff while you're even growing your own hopeful children.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I see what you did there.
Yeah. Hey, let's listen to another tune. What do you say?
Let's do it.
I was just hitting the Jennifer Johnson's favorite Sunshine Summer Classics. This is Donovan with Sunshine Superman.
softly through my window today. Could have tripped up DC, but I've changed my way. It'll take time, I know it, but in a while you're gonna be mine, I know it. We'll do it in style, 'cause I'm
Sunshine, Superman. This is As Hot in Here. This is WCBN FM Ann Arbor. I think we may have the lovely Sarah Swick with us. Is that the case? Live on our earphones or our audio car phones, or maybe not. Maybe it's just an illusion. Maybe she's in our heads. Are you there?
I believe she's in our hearts.
She's in. That's perfect. That's perfect, Miss Spangler. That's okay. Gus is making a sour face right now, and we don't want him to feel sad.
In the meantime, I was hoping we could dive a little bit more into what Growing Hope does, in the sense that, like, what are the different program areas that you guys focus on at the organization?
Super question. So, you know, we say food access and people are like, what does that really mean, right? Yeah, so I guess we work at food access from various angles. I sort of see this as kind of like a continuum of work. At, like, the most basic level, like, we take Head Start folks, young little ones outside to have positive experiences playing with dirt and eating food. Like, right? That's like the
core.
That's
really fun.
The base. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
We wear costumes, vegetable costumes, and the whole bit. It's a blast.
Is that where Rachel Chatterton got her beet costume?
I don't know. Okay. But if you do want to rent a costume from Growing Hope, you totally can.
She made that beet costume, but she was part of the whole costume culture.
Okay. That's one of the most fabulous things I've ever seen. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, she's setting the bar really high.
So then, you know, as kids get older, we start adding in all sorts of other skills, like actually taking care of things, using sharp knives to cut fresh vegetables, which is a skill, you know, that people need to develop and work on, because we've lost that a little bit over the years. And then we get into even older kids, and we employ them during the summertime. They learn how to grow healthy foods. They learn how to share these recipes with other adults at our farmers markets, and they hand out samples of various recipes and foods to try, which is super fun. Come to the farmers markets on Saturday or Tuesday, and you can try these items for yourself.
Yeah, no one does that at the Ann Arbor's farmers market.
Well, more reason to come our way.
Yeah.
And then we also work with adults on kind of similar things. We do education sessions at area community centers, subsidized housing units. We host workshops at our own location. We have an urban farm right in downtown Ypsilanti.
Hey.
We grow food in hoop houses. We grow it in the ground. We grow mushrooms. We have fruit trees. We have bees. We are a green demonstration site. We host field trips. We have tours.
What don't you have?
Nothing. No.
We don't have nothing.
We don't even know. And then to sort of change the whole food environment, we're also working on a number of policy and advocacy sort of efforts at the moment, which Karen can talk to.
Yeah. So I am a project coordinator for what we're calling the Healthy by Default Project. So this is a grant that Growing Hope got from UCLA. They had assembled a whole bunch of different sub-grantees with money from the CDC. So the CDC's REACH program is racial and ethnic aspects approaches.
And this is the Center for Disease Control?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So they are looking at preventative health and ways to prevent disease, especially in terms of racial and ethnic disparities in preventable and chronic disease. So
diabetes, I imagine.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Anything related to obesity, cardiovascular health, just mobility as people get older and throughout their life. So UCLA had assembled a bunch of different grantees from around the country to participate in a Healthy by Default program. So their idea is that they will make the healthy choice the easy choice. So rather than saying we're going to do a program with women between the ages of 35 and 50 to help them reduce their weight, we're going to focus on communities where these problems are high and try to make community-wide structural changes. So,
and also men, presumably, 35,
yes,
whatever.
Yes,
yes. Whoa! Sorry.
That's true.
I'm not sorry.
So what are some of these structural changes that need to happen?
So most specifically, structural changes include changes in nutrition and physical activity environment. So that means changing the retail environment of what's available in stores, trying to expand access to the farmers market so people have opportunities for retail food access that way. Also changing what's available in schools, in that school nutrition environment, where children are getting a lot of their nutrition. So schools have a lot of different priorities to juggle, and nutrition is just one of them. And then physical activity as well. Community-wide, we're working on trying to provide support and figure out ways that people can be more active and get around in our communities.
I love that, healthy by default.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so often it seems like health is something we have to be able to buy into or be at a certain level, and it certainly shouldn't be that way.
Right.
Because it doesn't really cost any money to go for a walk.
Right. If people feel that their neighborhood is safe, that's one of the key aspects that they're looking at, is that this infrastructure can be invisible. Whether it's just having sidewalks, having bike lanes, having safe neighborhoods, having streetlights. These are things that affect how people feel about sending their kids outside to play and whether they themselves go outside.
Right. And people's desire to go out and play, I think it's dictated in part by safety, but also by aesthetic quality. So if, you know, you just see, junky strip malls around you, you're not going to want to go for a leisurely stroll versus if there's some green space.
Yeah, and Ypsilanti actually has lots of smaller parks within the city and then larger recreation areas throughout Ypsilanti Township, but people might not necessarily be aware of them. And Ypsilanti City has some funding difficulties with trying to, you know, maintain the parks. There's currently no parks department because of the budget. So it's something that they're aware of, and there's a lot of community support for, but not always the resources to make it happen. So we're trying to figure out what are other ways that people can get out and be active and enjoy those things.
Makes a lot of sense. Well, maybe we can go to another tune with that in mind. I think up next we've got the Lovin' Spoonfuls.
Yeah.
The Lovin' Spoonful. One spoonful.
One spoonful
not
of love.
Multiple, plural.
But you could have several if you wanted to. Somewhere in the city. Let's do it.
Hot town, summer in the city. Back of my neck getting dirt and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead. Walking on the sidewalk harder than a match here. But at night, it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city. Cool town, meeting in the city. Dressed so fine and looking so pretty. Cool cat, looking for a kitty. Gonna look in every corner of the city. Till I'm wheezing like a bus stop. Running up the stairs, gonna meet you on the rooftop. But at night it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night. Just like the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city.
We're here with Danielle Gartner and Karen Spangler with Growing Hope in the great, great town of Ypsilanti, Michigan. Welcome back with us.
Thank you for having us.
Pleasure. Absolute pleasure. So we were talking at the break about a new thing you got going on called Ypsilanti. What in the world is that?
Holy cow, it's the newest, coolest thing going on in Ypsi.
You heard it here first, y'all.
Yes, opening day was yesterday.
Ooh,
yeah.
Super fresh.
Ypsilanti is our new retail garden supply store, and it's called a pop-up supply, or retail space. I don't know if you've heard this, it's cool lingo. It's like, it means it's only in existence for a little bit of time.
Get it while you can.
Totally, just May and June.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. The prime time for gardening. So anyways, at this space, you can come. You can buy seeds, you can buy seedlings, raised beds, accessories, bulk gardening supplies, container gardening, rain barrels, organic fertilizers and soils. We also deliver soil to people.
Wow.
At a reasonable rate.
Uh-huh.
And we do consulting. So we will, if you've got gardening questions, you want to design a garden, we are there to help you make that happen. And we can also even install a garden at your house.
Ooh. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
All the things.
This makes me wish I had a house so that I could have you consult with my garden needs and then help me do that.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things you're really excited about planting this year?
Whoa.
I know. Yeah. I just blew your mind. I didn't even prepare for that.
Everything. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Well, definitely lettuces, because we have this kind of cooler, wetter spring, mm-hmm. you know, which is lettuce weather.
And
juicy lettuce. And yeah. you can get a couple crops of lettuce in
yes.
a season, right?
Yeah, for sure. It'd be some good salad mix. We definitely have a lot of those seedlings available already, you know, growing. So you can get your lettuce eating even earlier.
That's at awesome. Ypsilanti.
at Ipsa Planti.
And it is something you can even grow in a pot in your apartment, for example.
Yeah, that's true. In the past, we had experimented with kind of selling some, you know, planters with mixed greens and things like that, something that's very easy to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you have a pot and you have soil and you have a window, you can have some salad.
Impress your friends.
Couldn't
you want to come
easier.
Over for a nice fresh salad and then you're like, literally, I'm cutting it right now. Mm. It's so fresh.
Crowd
it doesn't get
pleaser.
Fresher than that.
One thing that we just did, which I'm excited about, we planted Clifford, our big red truck farm. So, at Growing Hope, we have this old truck who's red, and we have named Clifford. And it, the bed of the truck is a garden. So, we can take this garden to anywhere we want.
It's a mobile garden.
It is a mobile garden.
How clever.
Yes. And it is planted with a rainbow of vegetable colors, all representing the various parts of the plant that you eat. So, for example, there are carrots because it's the root of
yes.
the vegetable that you eat, right?
Yes.
And it's planted with tomatoes because that's the fruiting part of the plant that you eat.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. It's my favorite.
I imagine Absolutely. The kids probably love the idea of a garden in a truck.
Oh, my gosh. And then they eat it.
Yeah.
So it's... Perfect.
Like, guys, this was cool until you ate our whole truck garden.
This is so
now
much-
I don't know what's going to happen.
I mean, the ice cream truck is cool, but this is way cooler.
It's like next level.
You should play music while the truck is, you know, the little ice cream music. Maybe just play that.
Oh, my gosh.
Walk out.
Oh, I have visions for Clifford. I have a whole, like, pimp my truck farm, like, thing, and it's big. And
you should totally take your truck on Pimp My Truck. And then they could build, like lattice stuff and like multi-level
yeah.
things.
Chicken coop.
Like a whole vertical thing.
Oh my gosh. You could have an extension. Yeah, where you have chickens and then underneath you're growing fish.
Oh my gosh. Oh, holy cow.
And the chickens could be eating things as they're growing.
Oh.
It's a little experimental. But I think the hybrid you're already working with Clifford the Red Truck Garden is pretty amazing.
Yeah, so this is part of a whole like movement, I guess you could say, across the country. Go Google truck farm and you'll be linked up to all the other truck farms around the country. Many people do them and have them and there's a whole documentary about it and boy, fabulous.
So why is this a thing now? Is it just a way to get people excited about it, or is there an actual like physical advantage to a truck farm?
Yeah, well, the main thing I find it's useful for is that it's flashy and it's memorable. So those are pretty useful things when you're doing education. And also, you know, in spaces where it's a lot of work, let's not joke, to garden. It's a lot of work. And especially in schools these days, you know, teachers are stretched pretty thin. And the idea of taking on a school garden, is just one more thing to add to the list and can be pretty hard. So when we can bring a garden to you, holy cow, right? Opens up some great possibilities for hands-on learning.
So some of the, I mean, when you have brought it to schools, does the teacher take the kids out and then they talk about what the different vegetables look like in the soil?
Yeah, definitely. We usually try to plan some time or space for them to harvest something or plant something. And then we usually bring along some other things. So yeah, we can't harvest all of the beans on here, but we'll bring extras to supplement and then you can try them, right? We also might bring along our bike blender. So we have a bicycle powered blender.
Wow.
So we might like bring that with us and then we harvest some kale and put it in our smoothies and, you know, blend the heck out of it.
Wow, I want to just regress, go back in time so I can participate in this demonstration.
We can bring it to adult spaces too.
Awesome.
Maybe WCBN FM Ann Arbor needs, thank you, needs a visit from the truck farm.
You might.
I love it too, just because it sounds to me like getting people excited about gardening and sort of understanding their food and just getting excited about healthy food is such a huge part of combating food insecurity. And it's interesting because if you think about how much money is invested in marketing unhealthy foods, it's a ton. It's a ton of money and different companies are really good at it. So, you know, it's great that you guys are perfecting the art of getting people excited about healthy food.
Yeah, you know, when we think about gardening, I think a lot of people like suddenly go, they think of the back 40, right, that their grandma had or whatever, and think this huge project that's like, who has time for
I think
that,
of like
right?
big hats and uncomfortably looking shoes, not uncomfortable shoes, but ugly shoes. I'll just go ahead and say okay. it.
Yeah, got some clog things happening, right? Some,
that sounds kind of fun, though. It's all right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyways, yeah. So, you know what? Truck farm helps you see that, yeah, this can be fun. I can kind of grow anywhere, even in the bed of a truck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that integration of, like, the kind of industrial kind of vehicle thing the earth and stuff that comes out of it.
And when you see the really rust on the truck, too, you even...
Yes. Yeah. I feel you on that, on the rust. I can't even wash my car because I would have less car every time I wash it as a result. How about some Seals and Crofts, Summer Breeze? Because we like Summer Breeze. Mm. And the jasmine will soon be in bloom. Hang in there.
See the curtains hanging in the window in the evening on a Friday night. Little light is shining through the window, let me know everything's alright. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. The paper laying on the sidewalk, a little music from the house next door. So I walk on up to the doorstep, through the screen and across the floor. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. I come home from a hard day's work, and you're waiting there, all care in the world. See the smile waiting in the kitchen, food cooking on the plates for two. Feel the arms that reach out to hold me in the evening when the day is through.
Ypsilanti, Michigan. This is your pop-up garden supply store / it will, parts of it will come to you. When is it open? Where is it happening?
Well, the hours change on the weekend during the week. So I'm going to suggest you Google Ypsilanti, but
there
it's generally 12 to 7 during the weekday. I know that much. And it is located at 9 South Adams.
We are having a special little brand new opening thing, shindig, tonight, right? Ooh. Six to nine,
correcto,
I think.
Part of First Fridays of Ypsilanti.
Yeah, so normally there's music downtown, people are out, you know, we're celebrating the fact that we can be outside without freezing our faces off. And so we'll be open for people to come in and see what's available with our great retail staff. So, yeah.
It's so exciting. I was looking at your website and in your impact on the impact portion of your website, you really highlight the community and building leadership. And some of the things that, you know, I read that sounded really interesting to me was that you also have monthly potlucks and movie showings.
Oh, yeah. So I believe that's the second or third Friday. Sorry, I should know that better, of every month. But they're held at the downtown branch of the Ypsilanti Public Library. And you can go 6 o'clock. There's food, potluck. It's fabulous. Nothing like getting foodies together for potluck, right? Never disappoints. And this is in partnership with the library, Sustainable Ipsy. And I believe the food co-op is also a partner on that. And then we watch a movie, like a documentary, about some worldly fabulous thing, and then talk about it.
Great.
Building community that way.
Yeah, lots of celebrations happening and parties and community get-togethers.
That's what it's about.
Educational opportunities. That's really exciting.
And another big theme seems to be this building leadership skills in young people. And I saw that it's, seven teens, I guess, over the past year have spent 1,152 hours working with you guys. What were some of the things that they were doing?
Oh, man. So every year during the summertime, we actually employ high school-aged youth. They come from the Ypsilanti community, and a lot of times they come back every year, and we do that purposefully. But they work on our farm. They learn how to grow food. They also serve, though, the core of what they're about and working with us on is they provide sort of a peer nutrition, like, mentorship to area community centers' youth summer programs. Mm. So we go out nearly every day to community centers that have summer camps, like Park Ridge Community Center, for example. There's a community garden nearby, and for a couple hours each week, we do some nutrition lessons, growing stuff, and the high school kids lead this. So, you know, high school kids, they can get those messages, and they're way cooler than us, so it works a lot better.
It may depend who you ask, but
well,
yes.
Oh yes, right. In the eye of a seven-year-old.
I wish somebody would have told me about that stuff when I was a kid.
Oh, I know, right? I wish we could employ all of Ypsilanti in this program. So, any funders out there, if we just had the dollars, I would.
Lots of money, you're pretty awesome. Yes. Seriously, I was like 22 and I realized, oh, you actually are what you eat. I thought, I was like, I'm like bones and hair, and I've said this before on the show.
What's 75% water? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
98%?
Like, okay, I drink water, I get that. Like, how are these gummy bears going to turn into my fingers? I just don't get it.
Yeah, they are absolutely remarkable young people. I have to say they're incredibly inspiring to be around because they get it, and mm-hmm. they can talk about it, mm-hmm. and man, boy, I just, it's continuously impressive.
That's great. I'm just so impressed by how you guys seem to have all your bases covered. You know, like, you are improving access, but there's also an educational component into it. There's a community building component to it. How has this growth happened? Is there just a genius in your organization that every year is like, end this, or is the community somehow, is there an iterative process that's going on?
Ooh, I think both Karen and I can speak to that a little bit. I have to say, part of it is, like, you know, a dynamic leader who sets the bar really high, right? You know, and then we're all mm-hmm. trying to get there. That's a big part of it.
Yeah, I think that there's definitely so Amanda definitely has a vision for the way that the community can be involved, can be sustainable, and can be a really vibrant place to be. And then in that, through different community partnerships, we hear about what the need is. You know, we hear that when we're working with partners, that they say, okay, well, we don't necessarily have the funding to do this right now, or we don't have the resources to make these things available. And we, you know, we might not always be able to fix that right at the moment, but we are able to, you know, to document that or to figure out a way to work together in the future to meet that need. So it's definitely, it is iterative. Our programs have changed a lot over the 11 years that we've been in existence in terms of refining what kinds of garden support and garden training people want. That program has changed a lot in as we learn more about, you know, what people actually need. A lot of our social enterprises are something that have been continuously growing and changing. So this Ypsilanti Garden Supply is part of the social enterprise wing of our organization, which supports our programs through that earned revenue. Okay. So that's been it's a little bit newer model in the nonprofit world. And we're trying to see what we can do because, you know, resources are always scarce. People are always competing for funding and donations and grants, and they're not always a sure thing. So trying to have streams of revenue that are doing useful things while also making money for the organization is something that we're branching into over the last few years.
You know, and we just have like a staff who's just outstanding, you know, like a group of people who are so committed and passionate about the work that they're doing. I mean, we also have just super influx of interns in the summertime. And I mean, it's just fresh life all the time and new ideas coming in and this great energy that I just really think has helped us over the last 11 years get to where we are now.
That's great. So if you guys just, you know, I know at SNRE, at least there's a lot of people who are interested in joining either Growing Hope or an organization such as Growing Hope, or maybe starting their own organization such as Growing Hope. What is your, I mean, you just said a lot of really great things, but I guess do you have one main piece of advice for people who are passionate about this and maybe want to create a really great community-based organization?
Whoa, well, volunteer with us. Come on out. Check out what we have going on and see how we do it. Yep. Whoa.
That's great.
Yeah, I think that definitely there's also a need for, I would say, a humility in being embedded in the community that we're in, right? So it's not that, you know, Amanda went to school in Ann Arbor and she's going to come and fix all of Ypsilanti, right? So she's a member of the community who's lived there for a long time, and we try when possible to draw staff, volunteers, people who are core supporters of the organization from the community so they can be the voice and tell us, you know, what's needed.
I like that focus on adaptability, which your organization seems to work with. That seems really important. This is working, this isn't, let's do this, let's try this.
Yeah, that's the beauty of being a smaller organization and a nonprofit. You get that kind of flexibility that you don't see in like a government agency or a bigger institution. So
it's messy. It's messy and it can be stressful because you don't have, you know, a pre-test, post-test, we're going to have this specific goal and work with only these people and, you know, meet this aim of changing awareness from this to this in this amount of time, right? That as you were saying, that this model of how everything is interconnected, it is more realistic in my view, but it's also more complicated, and it's harder to address all of those at once. But that's what we're doing. We're trying because we think that that's the way.
Yeah, we're going to be talking to you guys for a good hour on what we do, and it's just the tip of the iceberg, you know. So that's something to think about, you know.
That's really exciting. Wow. So if folks want to meet y'all, they can go to your awesome, totally awesome Ypsilanti welcome party.
Tonight. Yes, yeah. 6 to 9.
Also, I would be remiss if we didn't mention the farmers markets. Mm-hmm. We have farmers markets galore. So over since 2006, since we started the downtown Ypsilanti farmers market, that's every Tuesday from 2 to 6 at Ferris and Hamilton, so right in the heart of downtown Ypsilanti. And we do accept EBT, credit cards. We participate with a lot of food assistance programs. And then we have taken over management of the Depot Town Farmers Market, which is Saturdays, I think 9 to 2. Is that correct?
9 to 1.
9 to 1. Don't come after 1. We will not be there.
Just maybe some scraps on the ground.
Yeah, May through October. So, you know, different vendors have a lot of different kinds of foods. You try to maintain a diversity of vendors. So first day, opening day, is this Saturday for the Depot Town Farmers Market. This upcoming Tuesday for the Downtown Farmers Market. We also have, we also manage the Wayne Farmers Market. So as we've built the skills to be able to manage successful markets and figure out what it takes to run the credit card system and do all of that.
Wait, I thought markets were like this thing that just spontaneously happened.
Oh,
that's what economic theory teaches me.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no. Yeah. Like, there's just total perfect competition. Oh. And yep.
And people know exactly where to go to get the stuff and to bring it and buy it.
Right.
They just happen to know that on their own.
Exactly. No, this is, in my personal view, not related to the organization, my personal view is that markets are like these little hothouse orchids, right? They have to have in order to have this great transparency and fairness and accountability and information between consumers and producers, right? They're like, they have to be in these little hothouses, these little greenhouses, and then they can thrive. Then they can blossom and be useful. So
be fed on the rain of their own perspiration.
I love working with you, Karen.
Look at this. Thank you.
You're wearing a lot of love for each other.
Well, so that's within the farmers market, they do actually take a fair amount of work to be able to create access and to actually have benefits for the producers, you know, many of whom are low income themselves. It's not a highly profitable existence to start a farm. So we try and do what we can to help them be viable and provide a good outlet for them at the same time as we are using these markets as healthy food retail outlets for the community and participating in food assistance. Mm-hmm. So Wayne Market is May through October. What is that? Wednesdays 3 to 7.
Seven. And it's located at Gowdy Park right behind the City Hall.
So if you're like, oh man, I live in Wayne, I can't get to Ypsilanti on Tuesdays or Saturdays, it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Let's listen to another tune that is like semi-local a bit. This is Wild Bells, Too Late, It's Too Late. This was a really fun album of last summer. I think a lot of folks are nodding their heads in this room anyway that they're listening to it on repeat. So I thought I'd bring it back. This is one of the bigger tunes.
You don't.
Oh, good times.
Such good times.
We're here with Karen Spangler and Danielle Gartner of Growing Hope.
That's right.
And you have shared with us a lot of hope that is growing on multiple levels, multiple fronts. That's really exciting. From truck gardens to bicycle smoothie blenders.
The future looks bright with all those wonderful things. And I'm also going to have to turn the mic now on Jennifer Johnson, my co-host, to talk a little bit about her future.
My future. Yeah.
What's in store in the future, Jennifer? Because this is not her last show. Absolutely not her last show.
No, but it might be one of the last for a while. Yeah.
Right.
I'll be out of the town / country for approximately a month. That happens. But soon enough in the summer, I will be defending my dissertation and then beginning a postdoctorate doctoral fellowship at Yale University, of all places.
Heard it's a good school.
Taking the Rust Belt to the Ivy League. So we'll see how that works out. It should be really fun. I'm excited. I'm totally excited. I'm going to miss this town and WCBN and all, and this show in particular.
Absolutely, but
don't make me cry.
No. You said you're not a crier, so but you're gonna be able to join us on the phone all the time, because
that's
what we're gonna
I'll be your Connecticut correspondent.
Absolutely, as long as we get another fabulous audio engineer, because Gus Turner is also moving on into the future.
You can come on a mic if you want. Oh, yes.
What are you doing in the future?
Is this okay?
Is this thing on? Yeah. Yes.
On? Okay. I will be moving to New York in May.
Big city.
Yes.
Ow!
Very exciting.
What are you going to do there?
I'm going to be an editor for a magazine called Complex.
Complex.
Yes.
Sounds so cool.
I will be managing freelancers and doing all that good stuff.
Wow.
Where can we obtain this magazine?
It's a Jennifer and I had this conversation. It's an every other monthly magazine. Normally I would say bi-monthly, but we weren't sure if it refers to two times a month or every 2 months.
It can be both.
I've looked it up. Yeah, it can be both.
It can
you
be
have
both.
To provide context.
Okay. There we
That's
go.
That's exactly what I said.
Consider
on the level.
The context is on the table now.
Yeah.
The context.
In your face.
It is every other month.
Wow. It's amazing what a degree from the University of Michigan can do for you.
It is.
You can move to New York City, be an editor, have a team of staff, basically, just fresh out of there.
Yes.
Wow. The future's so bright.
I'm excited.
I hope you've got some good sunglasses to take with you.
Yeah.
Because you're going to need to wear shades. Oh my gosh, I wish we were going to listen to that song right now. Doing all right, getting good grades. Future so bright.
But
we could listen to Alice Cooper.
We could.
Yeah.
We could do that.
Are you excited to transition to a big urban environment?
I am.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. I lived in the state of Michigan for 22 years now. So, ready to move on.
It will always be here for you, I think. I would hope.
Mm-hmm. I am going to miss WCBN, though. WCBN is amazing.
Yeah.
More people should get involved at WCBN if we're going to do some plugs right now.
Yes.
It's not even hard to do.
It's the most underutilized resource on this campus, unfortunately.
I think, totally agree.
In my opinion.
And we're still doing the 6 o'clock shadow.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to become a DJ, but you don't even know how to do it, but you want to play some records, get a feel for it, you can come down to the station at 6 p.m. pretty much all the time.
Yes.
And join in our show, the 6 o'clock shadow. DJs will help you with look through the library and pick awesome records or CDs to play. And then the process of actually becoming a DJ isn't even that hard. You make a demo tape, put, you know, your heart and soul in there and your good taste, obviously.
Yes.
Learn how to use the stuff. And then you can have your very own show. And the summer is an amazing time to do that, because a lot of folks are traveling who have normal shows or something like that. So there's much more availability than there would be in the fall and winter semesters, which means that then you can have a really great time slot in the coming semesters if you put in your dues.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did my training 2 summers ago and got my early morning shift out of the way, the 3 a.m. to 6 a.m.
Oh, that's very early.
Yes, it is early. But it's fun. It's worth it, you know?
It's kind of a rite of passage type thing.
Yeah, and you go home and you make yourself bacon and you feel good about yourself. and then you go back to sleep for like 3 hours.
A bacon nap.
Yes, it's very good.
sounds wonderful. And if you're like, I don't know, the idea of being a DJ makes me nervous, but I'd like to engineer a show like it's hot in here, you do that too.
Yeah, there are so many great opportunities to engineer for really awesome programs on WCBN. There's sports, and there's Living Writers, which is a really great literary talk show, and there's It's Hot in Here, which if you're an English major and you haven't stepped outside of the humanities in years and you want to learn more about science, then that's a great, great opportunity. And yeah, I mean, honestly, if I'm talking on the radio, pretty much anyone can do it.
So. Oh, gosh. So anyone can find out more information on how to become involved at the website.
Yes.
WCBN.org.
.org.
Or come to the 6 o'clock shadow.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a hilarious name. I'm really excited for favorite summer shows. Mm-hmm. I just read there's a great exercise radio show that used to be known as Move Your Ass, which will now be Smooth Your Ass.
Is that word allowed on the radio? Uh-oh.
Apparently.
Okay.
No, it must be.
A donkey also.
It must be. Yeah. This is all about donkeys and making sure your donkeys have no cellulite. So there'll probably be a lot of...
healthy donkeys only.
Healthy donkeys. Oh.
But Andrea, I will be sure to visit. I'm going to be visiting next year. My little brother's going here, so I might have to sub in for whoever your audio engineer is. And...
Oh, do that.
Yeah.
Do that.
And then we'll get Jennifer to call in the kinetic correspondent and it'll all be kosher. It'll all be good.
We're like, this is what's happening here.
Yes.
Right here, right now.
Also hot.
Yes. It'll probably be hot there. Like a coast thing going on.
Yes.
Maybe I'll get some live seagull sounds for you. Mm-hmm. See what I can do. Let's listen to a little bit of a classic tune. Maybe.
A little bit of Alice Cooper?
Yeah. For everybody who's, you know, school's out for summer. It's school's out forever for some people. Other people are like, I'm about to start a PhD, I'm freaking out, but it's exciting. That's the opposite of this tune. We'll be back. Also, we should say that it's graduation. People are graduating left and right in this town. So maybe we'll just slide in with a tune that they might be hearing at their graduation, and you might be hearing if we were there. Congratulations to all the past and future and most certainly present graduates.
And congratulations to Growing Hope. You guys are awesome.
Aw, shucks.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Any closing words?
If you want to find out more, you can come to our website, growinghope.net, that has all of our information about our stuff you can buy, stuff you can volunteer for, stuff you can show up at.
Stuff you can learn about.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe if we volunteered, could we drive the garden truck around? Maybe. Could you sit in the middle seat?
Oh, it even has a back cab, so you could sit back there.
It's a pretty high level skill. It's driving.
Yeah,
covered.
But like you
it's
can't make
a little
any
scary.
It's sharp turns or like subtle.
No.
I mean, quick stops. Yeah.
No.
Plants would be fine everywhere. Oh, I love it. So growinghope.net. And you can check out hotinhere.net for.
Dot us.
Hotinhere.us for past versions of the show and sweet resources and stuff. Thank you to Gus Turner. Congratulations on your graduation! Thank you to Andrea Krause for being so fantastic this year and for taking on the torch of this show. That means so much to me.
I'm so excited. I'm sad and excited at the same time. Conflicting feelings. Thank you, Jennifer, for starting the show, for running the show, for just generally being amazing to co-host with. And just, yeah, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it. Merry Christmas, everybody.